Greetings and welcome to another episode of Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I'm Hammond Chamberlain, y'all.
Wow, that very appropriate intro from Hammond should tell you that at least what genre of music we're listening to this week. Today, we're going to be talking about the band Black Oak Arkansas. Or Arkansas. Black Oak Arkansas.
Arkansas.
So I'll tell you, I think I'd heard the name Black Oak Arkansas before. I think it might have been in relation to the band, or it might have just been hearing about the town Black Oak, Arkansas.
I know you could have installed software at their newspaper or something.
Maybe. Yeah. I feel like just based on what I've seen of their music videos and stuff, their newspaper is printed on old wife beaters and and Bud t-shirts with holes in them.
But, don't tread on me is the name of the city paper.
Right, exactly. No, I could not have even told you one song by the band prior to this week. This is a good example of what I really like about Soundography, because we sometimes get exposed to stuff that we've never heard before. This was the case for me this week. Never heard a single song, I don't think, by Black Oak Arkansas. Maybe I've heard Jim Dandy before, because it did sound a little bit familiar, but I don't know if it sounded familiar because of the other bands that they kind of remind me of that were around this at this time.
The only reason this band landed on my radar was I found an article about bands that were suspected of backmasking.
Oh, really?
And I decided, I've never heard of them. What are they accused of? And so I went and did a little digging. And because I was curious, I put it on the list. And because neither one of us had heard of it, it was something we decided to do.
It was a great, great way to get us into this stuff. And I will say that, you know, maybe a good dozen albums with live albums and stuff, compilation. I really enjoyed, it was a very Oreo week for me. I enjoyed the two cookies on the beginning and the end. I did not enjoy the white filling in the middle. Yeah, they're late 80s. Actually, no, pretty much all their stuff from the 80s and early 90s felt so. It was Spinal Tap, is what it was.
Yeah, it was.
Especially when you look at these guys, like you look at the videos of them, and that is Nigel St. Hubbins and David, or Nigel Tufnel and David St. Hubbins and. You know, that's the band right there. Would not have surprised me to hear that Spinal Tap had some Black Oak Arkansas influence to them. These guys are Spinal Tap AF. I'd also say that they are, you know, there's that whole thing.
Wouldn't that came be out RK or AK instead of AF?
As
Arkansas, the two-letter brief.
Oh, gotcha. I was thinking like some sort of Southern way of saying AF.
No, I was okay, making AK.
I gotcha. Very, very good. You know who else I think probably borrowed a lot from Black Oak Arkansas is Sweetwater, the band, the fictitious band in the middle of the movie that was called, it was originally called Untitled, and then they renamed it Almost Famous.
Oh, you know what? I think you might be right now that you say that.
I totally see some Almost Famous, like some Sweetwater in Black Oak Arkansas.
Oh, and I still think the Drive-By Truckers borrowed a lot, too.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I could kind of see that.
And for me, I enjoyed the week because it was such a departure from Nine Inch Nails. And I was fresh off Nine Inch Nails.
Boy, yeah, you could not have had a, I don't want to say a palate cleanser because I really enjoyed Nine Inch Nails. But it is a, it's like cold water in the face after the hot water of Nine Inch Nails.
This really was shaking the Etch-A-Sketch for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Google it, kids.
I think they have apps now that basically simulate an Etch-A-Sketch, don't they? I'd be surprised if they don't. All right, so we're talking about the band Black Oak Arkansas. Their name for their hometown. Can you guess what the name of that hometown is?
Red Oak.
Oh, that's so close.
Georgia.
Black Oak Arkansas.
Oh, surprise. My gosh, really?
Yes, yes. I know. I'm surprised by that, too. They were originally called the Nobody Else, spelled like no, K-N-O-W. Nobody Else. They were formed in 1960.
That reminds me. Friends. That reminds me of the O'Neaters.
Oh God, the O'Neaters. Yes, right. Except you can look at that and know how to pronounce it. But yeah, like Def Leppard. That's not how you spell Def or Leopard. They were formed in 1963 by some high school friends. The original members were Ronnie Chicky Hawk Smith, on vocals, Ricky Lee, alternately Risky or Ricochet Reynolds on guitar, Stanley Goobergrin Knight on guitar, Harvey Burley Jett on guitar, Pat Dirty Doherty on bass, and Wayne Squeezebox Evans on drums. Why isn't he Wayne Drums Evans if he's on drums? I don't think I ever heard any accordions in their music. Wayne Rattlin' Bones Evans. There you go. That would be the nickname. Later, the band and Smith, Chicky Hawk Smith, decided that a mutual friend named James, Jim Dandy Mangrum, would make a better frontman while Smith moved to stage production manager. That's a pretty generous thing to offer, right? Like, you know what? I don't need to be the frontman. This guy's way more frontman-y than I am. And I'm going to go ahead and let this other guy be the face of the band.
Yeah, but by stepping into production manager, you get a lot more control.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But you don't get the ladies. Like, nobody wants to go on the tour bus with the stage production manager. Hi, I'm the stage production manager. Oh, sorry, Liam. So where'd you go? The band stole their first PA system from Monette High School, and they started playing their special blend of rock, gospel, country, and blues. Members of the groups were subsequently charged in absentia with grand larceny and sentenced to 26 years at the Tucker Prison Farm. Later, the sentence was suspended. Some of their influence during this time were the Beatles and the Byrds.
The Tucker Prison Farm doesn't sound like it's all that horrible, but at the same time, it does.
Yeah, do they grow prisons there?
it's like something that where you'd see them raising Hillshire Farms chickens.
right. Come to the Tucker Prison Farm and eat some of our birds. The first couple of releases were ignored by the public. The band was signed by Atco Records in 1970, and they were renamed Black Oak, Arkansas. Self-titled debut album came out in 1971. It featured many songs that would be considered classics: Hot and Nasty, Lord Have Mercy on My Soul, and Uncle Elijah.
Another song on this album was When Electricity Comes to Arkansas, and it was said by religious groups to contain satanic backmasking. Now, this song made my list.
Listen to it?
This song made my list, and I'm going to put a clip of it backwards and forwards when we get to it, so people can judge for themselves.
Okay, cool. Oh, I can't wait to hear that. Right off the bat, listening to these guys, Jim Dandy, James Mangrum, has a very... I mean, I guess it's the other way around. Jack Black has a very Jim Dandy, James Mangrum sound to him. Like, they both are cut from that same coil, you know, where they're like very bombastic in their rock and roll delivery.
You know, it's, what? I didn't pick up on it until I saw you write the note, and then I could not listen to anything else without hearing Jack Black and Tenacious D doing it.
Oh, yeah, totally. Well, that'll make another appearance later on in the show for sure. That was the first thing that hit me. First song, first vocals, like, wow, this guy sounds like Jack Black, or Jack Black sounds like him, whatever.
So I'm thinking that Dr. John and Black Oak, Arkansas, if they didn't play together at some point, they should have.
Yeah, you know what? I would put them at a closer trajectory than Drive-By Truckers.
Okay.
Dr. John, Allman Brothers, Doobie Brothers, kind of the early Doobie Brothers before Michael McDonald joined the band. Very, very much like these guys. 1972, they released Keep the Faith. This contained the soon-to-be concert mainstay, Fever in My Mind.
And drummer Tommy Aldridge joined the band, replacing Evans. Now, Tommy is one of these journeyman drummers who's played with pretty much everybody. And
really?
Yeah, and if you look through the list of people Tommy's played with, he has played with your favorite artist. You just don't know it yet.
The Spice Girls?
He might have. You never know with Tommy.
He may have. He just may have. Also, Also in 1972, they released the album If an Angel Came to See You, Would You Make Her Feel at Home? I love album titles that are just like super long. My favorite
like
is
Mad Libs.
Fiona Apple one that's like When the Pawn and the Thing Beat the Stuff and the what you call it and the
That was such a Scott Johnson sentence just then.
Kind of was. But it takes her the title of that album takes up the entire album cover. There's no room for a picture of Fiona Apple on that album cover. This album, by the way, contained the fan favorite Mutants of the Monster, and it also featured an expanded musical style and approach. Saw the release of Raunch and Roll Live. This album contained previously unreleased and new songs.
Aldridge's solo on this album is really, really good.
Yeah, yeah. They actually re-released this, remastered in 2007, Raunch and Roll, as a two CD set that contained the studio versions of those songs that were held back by the studio because they knew that the band's true strength was in the live show. Yeah, you got to hear them live. Like this, usually I don't listen to live albums as part of Soundography. If it's a big catalog, I'll stick to just the studio albums. But after watching some of their videos, and oh my God, you need to watch some of their videos.
If that's the one thing you take away from this episode, yeah, is go to YouTube and watch some Black Oak Arkansas videos.
Black Oak Arkansas. There's one from Dan Kashner's Rack Concert that's got Ruby Starr singing Jim Dandy with him. We'll talk about that song in a little bit. But I don't know how that woman has a voice after performing that song because it is all Fry. screaming vocal Fry. The rest of the band is like, it is like watching Spinal Tap with the long blonde hair and the skin tight body suits. It's crazy. In 1973, they released High on the Hog. This one peaked at number 52 on Billboard and was the band's high point. And my notes here, like if you look at their videos, Spinal Tap, but a little bit of the Guess Who on there as well, I'd say was probably another band that shared some common influences. During this time, they were playing some of the largest venues in the world.
I love this list because I pulled this list directly from a website listing the venues. Yeah. And it has Royal Albert Hall. I'm like, wow! Arrowhead Stadium. A huge stadium. But it's you know, where the Kansas City Chiefs play. Sure. And then the Charlotte Speedway, which you could not get a larger venue, but it does not sum up their fan base, probably more than this at venue does. No,
that is the venue that says, here's where you're going to see Black Oak, Arkansas. And what's funny is one of the music videos I saw was them performing Hey Y'all live at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Actually, that Speedway has a little bit. I'm not a NASCAR or a racing fan at all. However, I worked with a guy who was, and we went to did an install at the Charlotte Observer. He did the training, I did the install, and we had an extra few hours. And so he said, "Oh, let's go check out Charlotte Motor Speedway." I'm like, "All right, sure, no problem." We drove over there, and he cons the guy. Basically, there's a fence around it, locked fence. He cons the guy who's got the fence to open it, let us go in and check things out. It was a non-race day. And not only did we go in and check things out, we climbed over the railing and walked along the length of the track. So, like, I walked Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Wow!
And the angle of the track in some places around the curves where, you know, you've got to have that angle. It's just crazy. You don't realize how much of an angle it is until you're walking on it. You're like, okay, this is an angle. Like, if you were driving on this slowly, you'd start veering. But there was a guy named Cliff, and he lives in Wyoming now. But some of my favorite times on the road traveling in newspapers were times that I traveled with Cliff.
Wow.
Super cool. So yeah, when you look up music videos on YouTube of Black Oak, Arkansas, I think the second most popular one you're going to find is that Charlotte Motor Speedway. And just looking at them in the crowd, and like they're passing around a jug of the stereotype jug of
moonshine.
Moonshine, and it's like, okay, that is exactly what people draw moonshine jugs.
Did it have the double X's on it? Did it have the X's on it?
Oh, you know what? It didn't have, that's the only thing it didn't have that was from the stereotype cartoon, but it wouldn't surprise me if that just didn't show up on the film. Cause it seems like that would have been right at home drawn on there with the purple Sharpie. Around this time also, they played the California Jam Festival, which hosted 200,000 people.
I bet you that was one of the worst smells that year.
The California Jam Festival?
Yeah.
I don't know. It depends on the kind of jam, right? Like if it's grape or strawberry, might smell really good. It's
out in the sun with 200,000 people.
Human jam. 1974, they released Street Party. This album featured Son of a Gun, Hey Y'all, and Dixie.
Featured a cover of Dancing in the Streets, which is one of the first of many cover appearances that I can make note of, that we make note of as we move through the back half of this catalog.
Yeah, they did do a lot of covers, and I kind of enjoyed the surprise of getting to one of those covers, because sometimes they'd have titles on their albums that are like, oh, is that a cover? Is that the original? Like, or is that something that just shares the same title as the original? They also released in 1974 Early Times. This was an old The Nobody Else album that was released as a Black Oak, Arkansas album because of their success.
And sadly, remember how we mentioned earlier in the show how the public ignored those first few releases?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this one got really ignored too.
Yeah. 1975, they released Ain't Life Grand. This one included a cover of Taxman and Fancy Nancy. Shortly after this came out, they signed with MCA Records and quickly released 1975's X-Rated. This was the start of their decline in popularity. They released a live album called Live Mother in 1976. Also that same year, Balls of Fire and the album 10-Year Overnight Success. Both of those albums were unremarkable.
I think the 10-Year Overnight Success had some old unreleased stuff and some like demos and things like that on there that made it worth getting if you were a fan.
Sure.
But after listening, I can see why they were kind of unremarkable and kind of just passed along under the radar.
They turned this point, they kind of turned into some wallpaper for me. Yeah. 19 let's see over the next few years, the band's record sales slumped, but they were still a huge concert draw. They dropped the word Arkansas from their name to downplay their southernness and be more mainstream. Mangrum also reformed the band with a new lineup except for Henderson.
So is this like when John Cougar Mellencamp dropped Cougar?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, you could. There's a lot of other bands you could probably say this about, like bands where they have to differentiate from another band, usually UK and US bands. They have to add like Charlatans UK.
I'm pretty sure there wasn't
London
a
Suede.
I'm pretty sure there wasn't a Black Oak like UK.
Black Oak California band. No, but Oingo Boingo, the Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo. You know, I mean, there were bands that dropped part of their name to make them more radio friendly, maybe even act as kind of a reboot for people who think that they've heard them before. They could kind of use that as like a way to restart things.
Yeah.
1977, they released Race with the Devil. And then the following year, 1978, I'd Rather Be Sailing, which does not seem like an album title that you hear from Black Oak, Arkansas.
My other car is a sailboat.
Right, exactly. Again, neither of those albums sold well. And in the early 80s, Jim Dandy left the band for a while for health reasons, but he came back to record and release 1984's Ready as Hell. This time, Jim Dandy was listed above the band name on the album. And this has a song on it called Don't Tempt the Devil.
Sitting in the middle of a room, feeling little and all alone. Reading on a book, but never knowing what it says.
And it begins with the devil. The vocal tricks. They would use this a lot, actually, going forward on different albums. This like,
God, you must face me. I'm the devil.
And I could not help but laugh every time I'd hear them.
And don't think I won't put a clip in just so people know what it actually sounds like.
Please do. I don't know which I liked more. Porter Wagoner's death intros or death parts of songs. And that was the day their entire house and family burned to the ground. Or the devil voices from Black Oak, Arkansas. They're both the best. This album, by the way, contained a heavier sound, keyboards, and pinch harmonics, totally veering into heavy metal land.
Yeah.
1986, The Black Attack is back. This was similar in style to Ready as Hell, same heavy metal theme, and featured the song I Want a Woman with Big Titties. It was kind of like it's a longer track. It's like a hidden bonus track that's called Arby's, and then I Want a Woman with Big Titties, which the first half of the song is just listening to them eat Arby's and complain about not enough horsey sauce in the bag.
Hey, don't you record our meal. I'll break both your legs off and piss in your neck.
That's gross.
Golly, I gotta eat by it over here. Right his hair.
They're just like us, Black Oak, Arkansas. And then the second half of that song is the aforementioned woman description.
Yeah. Neither album moved the band out of the slide that they have been in. Even with titles like that and song content like Arby's, it could not pull them out of the downward spiral, callback to last week, that they were totally in.
It's hilarious. At one point in that song, they even, like, one of them, like, you know, mouthful of beef and cheddar or whatever, it says, we should get an Arby's sponsorship. Yeah, then maybe separate the bonus track of you eating Arby's with the song called I Want a Woman with Big Titties.
What's all weird, right, is probably one song led to the one conversation that was called I Want Arby's led to a conversation that turned into the song that's the bonus track.
And that's how Arby's got the slogan, we have the meats. In 1992, they released the album Rebound.
Which wasn't,
I know. It's kind of like 10-year overnight success. It's very a very hopeful title. 1999, The Wild Bunch. This was the band was then renamed again as Jim Dandy's Black Oak, Arkansas. So changing stuff around. To be honest, actually, I started liking this. This was the other Oreo cookie for me. It was their return to form or enough different from the previous albums that I actually really enjoyed this. But there's a song on there called Top Heavy Dallas about a stripper with ample measurements. I think he found the woman he was looking for from the previous album.
He took her to Arby's.
But boy, it is a nasty song, but and really, really descriptive of as to what makes this woman Top Heavy Dallas.
No, I'll never forget the first time I walked into the great palace. As the palace guard, renowned for having the largest harem with the most beautiful women in the world. No, I'll never forget that first night, because that's when I finally got to.
I will try to put a clip in, but no promises.
Yeah, it might be like a half a second long. James Mangrum has continued recording and touring with a series of different Black Oak lineups up to the present day. Black Oak, Arkansas currently enjoys a local fan following and so, released a couple albums here in the 2010s.
Yeah, so ahead. I feel like this is one of those bands you see playing at the border casinos, like in jackpot Nevada, which goes, Wendover, Nevada.
I would actually say at the Cheyenne Fair, come see Black Oak, Arkansas. And then they play a clip. Oh, Jim Dandy, go Jim Dandy. And then they go to another, and also, the remaining Temptations.
And that one guy who played with Dr. John in the 70s.
Right, exactly. He's like, the guy who wrote Baby Shark. They have released a couple albums in the 2010s. 2013 saw Back There and Over Yonder. Not really an album of new material, but it's, well, I take that back. 5 newly recorded songs, but 10 previously unreleased 1970s tracks. The first single from that was Plugged In and Wired. And then 2019's Underdog Heroes. This was the first release of a full album of new material in over 30 years from the band. And you know what? It's not bad. I kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So good job, Black Oak, Arkansas. You
rebounded.
Slipped. You did rebound. It just came several years after your album called Rebound. Hammond, tell me about their statistics.
They only had a couple of members of the band that were there throughout the entire run of the band. And they've had a crap ton of lineup changes. So much so that we'd still be going through them if we decided to list them.
If we described every change.
Yeah, it was a real revolving door of talent and members. And no joke, they've had so many. But the core, the couple, 3 members that were core, they kind of kept the Black Oak alive. So, I mean, good on them. But at the same time, they've had a metric butt ton of people move through this band.
Wow.
And then throughout the entire history of the band, they appeared on numerous compilations and so many live albums. Because as Brian said, the live performance really sets them apart. The studio work feels like they're not even enjoying it in some cases. Mm-hmm. In the live show, you can tell they're really feeding off the band or the crowds, and the energy's higher, and the songs are just more lively. Even songs that you liked live or in the studio albums, you're going to like more when you hear them live.
For sure. I can definitely back that up. Yeah, definitely. Cool. All right. Well, let's say that you do see them live, and you're waiting for that one certain song that they do that you know they're going to do at some point. Maybe it's going to be the encore. Maybe it's going to be before they bring the house lights up, but you know they're going to do it. What is Black Oak, Arkansas's Stairway to Heaven song?
Arby's.
it's the right. They just come out on stage, pull their microphones up close, and eat 5 juniors.
No, my pick is My pick is Hot and Nasty, and the only reason is because it showed up on so many of the live albums. I think it's the name of their greatest hits album. I don't know them well enough to make any other judgments than that.
I think there's something to that because it almost is like the nucleus of the band is Hot and Nasty, because there some of their songs are just downright nasty. I would go with either Jim Dandy or Hot Rod. Hot Rod's another one that seemed to come up a lot, and they even on some of their other albums they do Hot Rod 1999, a new version of Hot Rod.
Mm-hmm.
I could see one of those being it. I'm on setlist.fm right now. And here we go. Jim Dandy number 1.
I need on a runaway horse. Uh-huh, there's a ride, of course. Jim Dandy do the rescue.
Come, Jim Dandy.
I'm gone. One day I met a girl named Sue. She was feeling a kind of blue. I'm Dandy, the kind of guy. Can't stand to see a little girl cry.
Followed by Lord Have Mercy on My Soul, Hot Rod, Hot and Nancy. Hot and Nasty. When Electricity Came to Arkansas, Uncle Elijah, Plugged In and Wired, Post Toasty, Up and Dixie, rounding out the top 10.
Wasn't Toasty the name of one of the characters on Black is the New Orange?
Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, yep. That's it, yeah.
Toasty. Yep, sure was.
So when she left the show, they were Post Toasty.
Oh, look at that.
Just like when, just like after Malone left the Jazz, they were Post Malone.
They were Post Malone. I like the Jazz, Post Malone. Next, we figure out who we would like to hear them cover, who we want to hear Black Oak Arkansas cover in their newly reformed lineup. I'm really just going to steer right into the skid with this one and say I want them to cover Tribute by Tenacious D. This is the song where they've got to come up with the best rock and roll song ever created. Now I'm doing Jim Dandy's voice when I'm trying to do Jack Black's. It doesn't work. But that's the thing. I mean, Jim Dandy already sounds like Jack Black. Plus, they've got this really wicked sense of humor that kind of fits the whole Tenacious D vibe. And Black Oak Arkansas doing songs about the devil. They could even bring out that vocal trick, the weird devil echo, you know, when they have the devil singing back. So
I kind of went a different direction.
Uh-huh.
I kind of want to hear them in their prime, like the
1970s.
What, let me tell you what album I'd want it to show up on. Let me scroll back.
Okay, cool.
High on the Hog era Black Oak Arkansas. I want to hear them do a cover of Under the Bridge by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Sometimes I feel like I don't have a partner.
I just think they would fully BOA, because I'm now hip to the band.
Yeah, BOA. Yeah, fully BOA.
Full stop, lean into the southernness. It's not a bridge in LA. It's like a viaduct in Little Rock that the guy's under.
Sure. Yes. So they would have to change some of the lyrics, right?
No, I don't think so. But I'm just saying. City of Little Rock.
Right, exactly.
I just, I would like, I think there's something there. I can't put a finger on why I chose it, except as soon as I said it, I'm like, oh yeah, this is my pick, because it totally fits for some reason.
I'd like to hear that too, only because I'm tired of the Red Hot Chili Peppers version, so I'm ready for any other version of
that. So that means we're not doing Red Hot Chili Peppers anytime soon on the show, are we?
No, I can't do it. I mean, somebody pays, sure, but I feel like my time with the Red Hot Chili Peppers is done. They've provided me with all the entertainment that they're going to provide me with.
Light bulb heads and sock penises, and you're good?
Pretty much. Yep. Exactly.
I was going to say, the light bulb heads is another reference to the Woodstock 94 that we talked about last week.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, just let Flea keep making movies. I'm fine with that, and I'll see him there.
Yeah.
Set lists, and we're going to use them. This is where we pick five songs that are outside of the greatest hits. Although I don't know. I never listened to the greatest hits for Black Oak Arkansas.
I'm going to
get you one of my songs.
I'm going to throw a temporary hold on the greatest hits caveat, since we were completely unaware of this band.
Yeah, right. Good, good.
So I think that if
where we know Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah, exactly. I think this was, I think,
and stuff.
I think we don't, I don't think we could legally, by federal law, hold each other to that statute just because of our knowledge, lack of knowledge of the band.
Yep. Okay. Good. Then I'm totally good with that. All right. Let's get to here's my set list. My five songs. Number one, Happy Hooker. She was a real fine hooker. Is from High on the Hog. I really, I'm with you. I think that was the high point album for me.
Mm-hmm.
Good 70s, like a good, just solid slice of the 70s right there. And a good example of how the band could just get down and nasty with their songs. But this is probably the tamest of the nasty songs, with Top Heavy Dallas probably being the other extreme of that.
I like how you spelled nasty on that.
Nasty. It's nasty. Damn nasty. The next one, number two, is Dixie. This one comes from Street Party. Dixie. with a little bit of an a cappella version of the lyrics of Dixie, but then, man, they crank up the guitars, and I don't think I've ever heard a rock version of Dixie, and I love it. It's a really, really good cover. Next up is Post Toasty. I didn't realize until we were looking at the set list that setlist.fm that this is a cover. This is a cover of, who is it a cover of? It is a cover of Tommy Bolin. And that's why maybe it feels like it's a mashup of about five different classic rock songs, everything from Smoke on the Water to I don't know what else, but like it feels like it's a mashup of a bunch of different classic rock songs. And now that I know it's a cover, I like it even more. Speaking of covers, Don't Let It Show. They did a cover of Alan Parsons' Don't Let It Show on their Underdog album, and it's perfectly done in their style. So it's you know, if you like Black Oak Arkansas, you're going to like this weird cover of Don't Let It Show. I mean, I know they're probably just as familiar with the Pat Benatar version of the song as they are, probably more so than the Alan Parsons version, because Pat Benatar's was a bigger hit, but still. And then I'm going to close out with a cover as well, my fifth song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. This is one of the unreleased tracks that came back on the Back Thar and Over Yonder previously unreleased 1970s tracks. And it's just a solid, solid Rolling Stones cover.
That you got a lot of material for the four other shows you might do that then you actually got enjoyment from listening to them.
Kind of, right? I mean, certainly covers and I don't know, maybe a connection here and there and maybe something that I don't know if anything will ever get played on TMS, but yeah, I think I enjoyed, like I said, it was an Oreo cookie for me. Enjoyed the front half and the very end of their material. Not so much the stuff in the middle, maybe a couple covers here and there in the middle, but I did enjoy the cookie parts.
Yeah.
How about you? Tell me about your set list.
Well, so the first one I picked was When Electricity Comes to Arkansas. Self-titled album. I couldn't help but smile while listening to this blues jam. I mean, it's just a good, solid blues song. It's you can count off to it in the 12 bar blues. It's got all the ingredients you need for good rock and blues song. Plus, there's that possible link to Satan.
Yeah, yeah. So everything you need.
Yeah, it's got everything you need in a good song nowadays. So I'm good with that. The next one I picked was Swimming in Quicksand from High on the Hog. This is full-on blues funk. I feel like I knew this song. But I'm sure I didn't. But it felt like something I should have had in my collection and in my knowledge all along. It just felt like something that,
like going home.
Yeah. It also felt like something that I feel kind of shameful for not being familiar with, because it's right in that wheelhouse of stuff I listened to when I was in college and things I still kind of like. Sure. The next one is Everybody Wants to See Heaven from Street Party. But they don't want to shed old skin. Not enough faith to see hereafter. There's something really sweet about this song. It's a song about putting in the work. And I'm not one for bluegrassy, you know, preachy songs, but there's something about this that had a nice sense of humor. There was kind of a sweetness to it. And I really kind of enjoyed it. And it was a real change of pace from some of the other things, like, you know, Top Heavy Dallas and, you know, Arby's.
right. <yeah. laughs>
And then I picked Space Cadet from Ready as Hell. This is a later release, but it's still them. And even though it was from 2013, it still sounded like a 70s. It sounded like it was recorded in the 70s. And I don't know if it was because they were using like solid state recording techniques or they just mixed it right. But it felt like it could have blended right into some of their 70s stuff. And then my last one is Summer Swing from Back Thar. A free bird in the wind. In a fatherland with long hot summers, I don't think your home is for brain. Can't find no reason to leave from this land unless I find no. What I'm about to say might not sound nice, but I mean it with all kindness. The vocals on this one sound like Adam Sandler.
Like when Adam Sandler does his like, boy, yeah, that sort of thing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I do like the song, but yeah, it sounded like Adam Sandler doing it.
Yeah. Oh, that's great, though. Love it. Love it. So, yeah, so you go see him. You don't know if you're going to get some Adam Sandler or some Jack Black, but there may be some... maybe some comedy involved. Yeah, overall, I mean, it was great being introduced to a band that I didn't know anything about. I really did like the fact that we really broke new ground for us on this episode. So good job finding this band with that backward masking connection, and love it.
Yeah, it was fun.
Very cool. All right, next week, we move from a band that I know zero songs from to a band that I know one song from. And that is the band Extreme, the band that Gary Cherone came from, the guy who was in Van Halen for one album, I believe.
Yep.
This is going to be another one that I'm unfamiliar with, some unfamiliar territory, and I can't wait to see what I think of these guys.
My prediction is you're going to like it more than you think you're going to like it, because they're poppier than more than they are rock and more than they are prog. But they have elements of all of that in there.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
And you know two songs because you've seen Bill and Ted.
Yeah, that's right. You said that they have a song in Bill and Ted in the mall. Okay. Well, maybe I know two songs then. Hey, do you know more songs about Extreme and you want to tell us about them? Email us at soundographypodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We are at The Soundography. You can write to us there, direct message. I don't know if you can direct message us, but you can message us or just, you know, make suggestions, ideas. If you really want us to listen to something, though, boy, Patreon is the way to go. And you can find out about that on our soundography.com website, where you're also going to find our playlists in every single, the show notes of every single episode we do, a place to leave your comments about each episode there, links to buy the songs, Spotify links, and the aforementioned Patreon. If you want to make us listen to something, this might be the only way that we do a Red Hot Chili Peppers episode, is if you make us do it. Go to patreon.com/soundography to find out more about how to support the show and also get some cool goodies in the process. Of course, if you love the show and you want to tell everybody about it, a great way to do that is to leave a positive review somewhere. You can do that by going to your favorite podcast client of choice, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever, and leave us a review. We love that as a way of getting new people discovering the show. So do it. Make it happen. Hammond, anything to close out on with Black Oak Arkansas?
Not really. I think we've said all we need to say.
I would agree with that. All right. Well, very good. Well, on behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Abbott saying that's going to do it for this episode of Soundography. We'll see you next time right here. Thanks.
part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.